The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Good morning, and please be seated. I don't like being compared to sheep. I don't know about you. What is a sheep? It's a four-legged little animal that we shear every so often for its wool. It has no natural defenses. What it does, if you lead it out, it'll eat what you show it to eat. And if you leave it alone, it'll probably get lost. And probably the only thing that it does in its life is that it eats and it produces and it sleeps. And so I said, wow, that's not a very intelligent little animal. And yet Jesus is calling a sheep. But then I read the reading again today, and I saw something that I hadn't really paid attention to before, and it struck me like lightning. He says the sheep recognizes voice. The sheep recognizes voice. And I was saying to myself, what is this that a sheep can do to recognize? Because if you recognize something, there must be something in your brain, right? There must be something that you comprehend in order to recognize something. And then I ran all kinds of scenarios in my head. And I said to myself, maybe it's because they were conditioned to hear his voice. Maybe because he's the one that gives them food. Maybe because the shepherd is with them all the time. And so they kind of get used to them. And then I said, well, we're kind of like that too, aren't we? When we're babies, you hear mommy's voice. And the first thing you do is you accustom yourself to that tender voice. And every time you hear that voice, you feel this cuddly warmth, you know, need for her body and her warmth and for her food, because, you know, you need to let her know I'm hungry. And so her voice is an invitation to draw clear, to draw near her, to eat, to be comforted and so forth. And then I started to think of all kinds of different things that happen. I saw this picture one time, this movie called it The Penguins. You may have seen The Penguins, right? The King Penguins. And there are hundreds and hundreds of them that go to the South Pole. And what they do there is they breed. They breed their little ones. They start with the chick and the poor man, the poor male has to, you know, endure that one egg for who knows, for maybe about 3 or 4 weeks before the females come back with food, and it's freezing in there. It's cold. It's very cold. But when the chick is finally born, and before dad leaves, let's say, he hears the voice of the chick, and the chick hears the voice of dad. And similarly, that's done also with mom. When she leaves to get food, the chick hears the voice, and the mother hears the voice of the chick. Now, when the mother starts to come by, and the chick is a little older, mom listens to the voice of the chick. Hundreds and thousands of penguins are screaming at the same time, but somehow she can pick that voice. And she goes up to that little baby and she feeds the little baby. And I say to myself, how in the world does that work? How does that work? And I remember when I was a kid, I used to go play outside. You know, I lived in the projects, and I would go outside playing in the neighborhood. And then all of a sudden I would hear my mother say, "Willie," and my ear would come up. Like, that must be my mother, you know. I got to go now. Because her voice was something that, you know, was ingrained in me. When I heard it, I felt like, oh, I felt this pull inside of me. And I had to respond, because it must have been implanted in my DNA when I was just young. And I said, there's something miraculous about this voice thing. And then I started thinking about, how do we listen to the sounds in life? And how do we listen to that voice that calls us out of ourselves and beckons us into relationship? And then I thought, my mind was all over on this sermon. What I thought is, did you ever hear about the Hindu tradition? The Hindu tradition has a wonderful idea. It's called You ever hear that? I remember when in the 60s and 70s, you can dial a certain number and you would hear this And then you get into this meditative mood, you know. But what's really cool about the word if you think about it, is A-U-M. And what it starts from the back part of your throat. And it's that And it includes all the little vowels. It includes all of language. It begins with an opening and it ends up closing with all the language enclosed in that. And the idea is, if from the Hindu perspective, is if you listen and all the sound quiets down, you will hear this arm of the universe. And that is the sound of life. That is the sound of creation. That is the sound of movement that permeates all of life. And so the Hindus have a really cool way of thinking it, about this one voice. And then I said to myself, well, okay, well, here I am. I'm living a modern life, you know, in the modern city and so forth. I drive a car, I listen to music, I have a headphone and all that kind of stuff. And all, most of my life is taken up with all kinds of sounds, all kinds of noises. And it takes for us a certain concentrated effort to be able to slow down and allow all of these other sounds to dissipate for the sake of trying to listen to that one sound that calls us, that one sound that beckons us, that one sound that draws our DNA, that draws us out of ourselves in response to that call. And I said, isn't that cool that somehow in my DNA, before my mother gave me birth, God knew my name. God called my name. God was able to whisper, and I was able to respond very, very early on in this creative process where I was being made. It says in Psalm 139, my mother's womb, you knew me, and you understood me. You knew my ways and my yearnings, and you called me. And I cannot go anywhere in the world without your presence being there. And I think that today's reading is one in which we're being invited to listen to that voice again, that primal deep voice that is rooted in eternal time and in our DNA that we have somehow disconnected ourselves with. You know, salmon go back to where they were born. There's an instinct in them. Don't you notice that? They go there to spawn and then they die. There's this thing about turtles to go back to where they were born in the sea, I mean, in a particular beach, and they figure out after many years that that beach is the same one that they were born. There's this instinctive thing that you see in nature, which we too possess, that we are drawn to come back to the God who calls you by name. But we have become cluttered with all kinds of noises and all kinds of issues in our life that we cannot hear. Now I have a little bit more respect for that sheep. Because the sheep too is busy. The sheep too is kind of innocent. It's kind of running around. But it has the intelligence to at least learn the voice, to hear the voice, to respond to that voice, to be able to allow it to claim and then go back and respond to it. And this is the challenge for us in our modern day, to be able to say, what is this voice calling me into? Is it just calling me into living a life that is oblivious to things? Or is it calling me into authentic relationship with everything that is around me, with the people around me, with nature, with myself? You know, psychologists, and you can pay quite a bit to go by a psychologist. Might be cheaper to come to church. You ever think about that? Come to church and hear that this voice sometimes really wants the best for you. And what it's calling you to be is authentic, it's honest, to be real, to be aware of others, to care for people, to care for yourself, to open yourself up to wonder and magic and wonders and all the good things in life, to be able to be in the presence of all that God offers us. This is what we have to return to. A lot of the contemplatives will say that prayer has been abused. The word prayer has been mistaken, because a lot of people think that if they pray, thank you, Father, that's a prayer. Or God, give me a parking spot, that's a prayer. Or God, please, the lotto, I could really use it. You know, that's a prayer. So all these people have all these kind of words. It's not about words, it's about listening. Prayer is more about listening. It's more about going into, as Richard Rohr says, that deep time, that primal time in which you feel the connection with your inner self and with your spirit. And you know that you're standing on holy ground. Holy ground. And everything seems to be a maya. Everything seems to be a veil to something else. And we get caught up in the veil. But we've got to listen, and then the veil is removed. And we hear the authentic voice of God that says, I love you. The voice of God that says, you can do this. The voice of God that says, you belong to this world. The voice of God that says, you can do much more with everybody else in your life. This is not the end. We're still in the process. We're still making you. We're still loving you. We're still creating. This is what the voice is inviting us to do. That's why Jesus says, I came to give life and life abundantly. Abundantly means that you know who you are, where you stand, and whom you belong to. This is the abundant life that Jesus is inviting us to do. But if we listen and respond to that voice, that calls us into life. How many of us are afraid to live our lives? How many of us would prefer to be in a hole or be in a cave and then close ourselves from life because life has been too brutal? Life has been confusing. Maybe life is not understandable and we'd rather stay alone and close ourselves up. The voice says, come out of that cave, come out of that pit, come out of that self-containment. For our real lives are in relationship. Our real lives are in the engagement of other people in other kinds of situations. This is why we have to listen to the voice, because if you listen to the voice, you might actually respond to it. It's similar to when Jesus says, I knock on the door, but only if you open up can I come in. You see, this is a call, but this, you have to take the claim of that call and respond to it. Do you remember Adam running around in the garden? Jesus says, Adam. And Adam says, here I am. You know, he hears and he responds. Abraham, the same thing. He calls Abraham. He says, here I am. You know, there's a claim on your life. God is calling you to do something, to be something, to do something. But we're too busy. We're too crowded with all kinds of noises that we don't hear the voice of God in our lives. We'd rather hear some kind of merchandise being sold on the radio. We'd rather look at some kind of fashion that we want to follow, some cosmetic that makes us look good, or some food that makes us thinner, or some, you know, other things that makes us more sexually vitalist, you know, give us more vitality. Isn't that true? We get caught up with all that crap. When what really God wants you to do is come out of yourself and be real. Speak from your voice, speak from your feet, stand on the ground that he's given you and be able to live your life, right? Most of that is up to us. Most of this real lack of response is up to us. And now I compare us to sheep and I say to myself, maybe the sheep is smarter than we are. See where I ended up? I mean, I said, now the sheep is not so dumb, it's probably smarter than me. Because the sheep at least responds and knows who to hang out with, knows who to trust. Who to believe in. And this is what we try to do in the church. We try to get into the church, the mood of worship and prayer and all of that, is so that we can sharpen that hearing, so that we can attune ourselves to God's call and be able to know that the call is specifically for you. And he's calling you into relationship. He's calling you into celebration. He's calling you into life. So many other things won't call you into life. They'll call you into obligation. They'll call you into enslavement. They'll call you into work. They'll call you into abuse. But God's call is into life. An abundant life, not somewhere else. Here, right here and right now. Between you and me. Between yourself and your loved ones. Between yourself and the God who loves you. That's what he's calling us into. And so the burden is on us. We need to hear. We need to respond. It takes courage. It takes trust. It takes a real yearning. Maybe you got to get to that place in yourself where you feel the yearning. Have you had yearning? I mean, a desire to feel God. There's a wonderful psalm that says, I will rather sleep on the outside of your temple than be anywhere in the world. Just to know that you are across that veil that I sense and I know you are there. That would be enough for me. Are we that close? Do we feel that sense of urgency for God in our life? Because once we get this urgency of God in our lives, we have it. We have what we've been striving for. What we need and what we love, what we yearn for, is that ability to know that God is in our life. That's a truth. You know, that's a reality. And so I think that the sheep can be a wonderful model for us. So from now on, let's follow the sheep. Do you know today is Shepherd Sunday? Every fourth Sunday of Easter is the Shepherd Sunday. And then when I read it, that's how come I said, well, I don't want to talk about that little sheep. But I realized that sheep is smarter than many of us can be. And all the sheep and God is asking is listen to your life. You listen to your life. There's a theme there. There's a beat. There's a rhythm. There's a movement. Your life has something offering you. Have you ever listened? One of the things, and I'll shut up because I feel like I can go on forever. Would anybody ever take music appreciation? And the things that teach you how to hear, right? How to hear rhythm and contrasts, how to hear crescendos, elevations, decrescendos, and all that. And suddenly you say, wow, I didn't know that was there. I didn't know that was possible because now I know how to hear. Well, coming to church hopefully is training you to hear how God is in your life, how God loves you, how God is inviting you, how God is claiming you as God's own. So our assignment this week is to listen. I don't know if you do any of this. I begin to think it's a good practice to maybe take just 10 minutes and allow yourselves to rest. But remember that you're resting in the presence of God. You cannot be away from God. God is everywhere. You cannot be taken away from the reality of God's presence. That's the first thing. So the thing is to recognize that you're in God's presence. And then allow that presence to inform you how God is reaching to you, loving you, calling you, and claiming you. And that could really change your life. That could really change your mood. That could really lift you up from a real depression and a sadness and put you back in the helm of your life. So God is calling us. Will you listen? Will you respond?